to Colossians, the third chapter. We'll begin with verse 12. While we talked about Sunday, we were talking about the putting off the old man, and Paul gave some examples of the things that they used to be, like fornication, uncleanness, adultery, covetry, lying, and the deceiving. Starting with verse 12, we're going to see that we're going to look at the contrast. We're going to look at the new man. You had put off the old man and all these things. He said you was one of these or some of these, but you're no longer. When you buried in Christ, the old man died, or you like a garment, you pull it off. Now, when you were raised, now you're a new man, or you put a new garment on. So he tells us tonight the things that we're going to be putting on. So in verses 12 through 17, we find, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through all. All right. He's talking about therefore. Well, that therefore is referring to back to verse 10, where he's talking about the new man. He says, all right, therefore are the new man. And he's describing it as the elect of God, those that are chosen by God, those that have heard the gospel and responded to it or obeyed the gospel. He says, the new man, the elect of God, the chosen one, holy and beloved, he talks about. He says, now, these things I want you to put on. This is the garment that you want to put on. This is the new man as you are, as you being elect, are chosen by God. These are your new characteristics. This is what you should be like. And, of course, who's the prime example? Well, Christ. He exhibited all these, and he is talking about this is what you should have in your life now. All right, he's talking about, kindness. No, let's talk about tender mercies. Heartfelt. Compassion. Heartfelt compassion or a sympathetic heart. Kindness, sweetness of disposition, the goodness of heart that makes us act rightly in dealing with each other. Humility, each one must count the other as better as himself. Meekness is a strong word. Most people don't think that meekness. They think of more of it. When you say meekness, the first word that comes to mind is timid. But it's not what you're talking about. It's a strong word implying forces and strength held in check, under strong control. Long-suffering, to suffer long, patient, steadfast, endurance, forbearance, endure evil patiently. Okay. These are the characteristics that you should be exhibiting. These are characteristics that you are supposed to be putting on. Now, let me ask you, is that easy?
No, it's certainly worth it. So what it's saying is you live as though you're in Christ.
That's right.
Christ is in you. And when you get bad news, you're glad that you're living that way.
Yeah. Let me tell you, this is something I think you're going to probably find out you're going to grow into. These are not very easy characteristics to put on. But you're going to have to put them on. He said, because the old stuff you have put away, well, if you have got rid of all those old things, well, you got to have something to replace it. And this is what he's talking about. Those things are put away, and you put on these new characteristics. Now, these new characteristics and the old characteristics do not go together. When you put that away, they are gone. You should classify them as dead. But now, since you're risen in Christ, this is the new person, new characteristic. You're the new man. You are to put these on. Let me tell you, it's going to be a struggle to do this, but you're going to have to put it on if you want to be a new man. You have to show that there's a difference in you. When you have obeyed the gospel and people around you don't see any difference, well, have you obeyed the gospel? This is the thing out here. If you put these characteristics on, I can guarantee you the world will notice you. Because this is not characteristics of the world. But these are characteristics of Christ. You know, Pax. No, you go right ahead. They're going to hear me anyway. Right. Well, it's what I was getting ready to say. When you we had talked about the old man and thing, where we were talking about, I said, you know, you put off the earthly things, and we're got our citizenship is in heaven, so we're to be focused and our mind thing on the things above, not on the earthly things. And that's the reason this is kind of difficult thing. This is good for us to understand these are heavenly things. These are not earthly things. When you see this, when you think about this, you think about Christ. When I start looking at these characteristics here, you know, that's the first thing that comes in my mind. And when it comes to that way, you look and say, well, these are the things, if my citizenship is in heaven, these are the characteristics that I'm going to have if I am going to live in heaven with God. Because these are God's and Christ's characteristics. And this is not the worldly characteristic. If you want to stay with the devil, then you wouldn't be doing these things. But he's talking about your kindness, your humility. You know, it's hard to be humble. A lot of times, people, we have a tendency to want to kind of build ourselves up. Meekness. Now, this is a good one here. I said before, most people, when they say hear the word meekness, they think of somebody's timid. No, they're not timid. It shows me if you're under self-control. Let me tell you, that's hard to do. But that's what it really means to be. You're applying your forces and strength are held in check. In other words, if somebody comes against you or something like that, you fight that urge to knock their block off or you to get revenge on them or say something to them. You hold your tongue. And that takes strength. And that's why he's talking about here, you're under strong control. If you can control your tongue, then you have mastered a lot. Long-suffering. Suffering long, that's what it is. Here's the one, endure evil patiently. People, you know there's going to be evil out here in this world. And you're going to have to endure it patiently. You're going to have to suffer long with it. And these are the characteristics he's talking about. Then he's talked about, continues on. He said, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. All right? He would talk about, if you've got those characteristics now, you've got to carry that on. All right? Here's the thing. Can you bear one another and forgive somebody? If you have these characteristics, it makes you a whole lot easier for you to give somebody.
Either that or bad memory.
If you got bad memory, you can forget about it because you don't remember anymore. But forgiving somebody and bearing with one another. You know, if somebody comes, confesses and says, look, I've sinned, I got this sin in my life and I'm having trouble with it. What's what he's talking about here? Can we help bury it? Can we help him out? Can we forgive him these things? If he's done something against you, if he has a complaint against you, can you forgive him? Can you just let it go? That's what he's talking about. Can you let it go? Larry? Let's go. Here's our example, Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast his lot. Okay, you can tell from that where Jesus is at. Jesus is hanging on a cross, crucified, being crucified out here. And he tells God, his Father, forgive them. Now, that tells you something right there. This, here's your example for you to forgive. You said, well, I just can't forgive. Well, Christ did. And look what he was going through when he forgave. Somebody put nails into his feet and arms. Put him up there on a pole. You know how that's going to be suffering that way. He's in pain and agony, and he tells them, forgive.
And it says he could call 10,000 angels come to rescue him. When you bring them back to him, you see what more he has to do.
And they kept on yelling at him, you know, if you can do all this and that, why don't you just come and save yourself? You did all this. He could have revenged himself right then and there. He could have destroyed every one of them there very easily. Self-control.
I think a lot of times that would be easier for us to do if we concentrate on the good in a person instead of the good.
Mm-hmm. Jesus knew that there was going to be some of those there that are crucifying him, they're going to obey him. His apostles, his teachings, his word. And he's setting a, wouldn't you not think he's setting a good example for that? Can you imagine hearing Peter preach that first sermon? And you're one of them that they crucified him there. And you remember Jesus said, forgive me. Would that not tug at your heart, stuff like that? This is what we're looking at. The characteristics. Christ says, you know, I can forgive these people that are killing me. Do you not think you can forgive yourself for some little thing?
So they may
cheat you out of something or other. What's the big deal, Pax? And we'll get, matter of fact, to the this chapter, you'll see about the justice coming here. But you think about it, you know, you're trying to do revenge. You think about, well, what can I do for them? But let me just tell you, whatever you can do for them, God's going to do a whole lot worse. That's why you need to look at it. Let God take care of them. And He will. He will take, God sees everything. There's nothing nothing's going to pass Him. And let Him take the justice out on it. And he will. All right. Now here's come to the cap of it. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. All right. Paul views love as the supreme virtue or above all. All right. If you put love into these that he just talking about, you can see how it's going to be happen. How it's going to happen. How it puts it all together. It binds everything together. When you talk about humility, kindness, long-suffering, love is what binds these together. It is the bond of perfection or of completeness or of maturity, basically what he's talking about. And Paul's already talked about this before in Colossians 2:2, when he talked about being knit together in love, when he talked about the joints and knit the things, how they were bound, how it completely held it together. Love is that binding thing that holds together. And that's what he's talking about here in history. Paul's at the very end. You put on these same things, but let me just tell you the virtue of evolve, you're going to have to have love. If you got love for your brethren, it won't be hard for you to be kind to them. It won't be hard for you to be humility about it, compassion about it. It's going to be. It makes it a whole lot simpler. And that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking. As you will see as we go on in this third chapter too, as Paul writing this letter to him, he understands that, well, you know, we already talked about the false teachers that come in, the Gnostics, the philosophers. You know, that's going to have some turmoil in this church here. And he is trying to bring them back to unity. Bring them back together. If that church is unified, if it's together, it's a strong church. It can resist the false teachers. It can resist the Gnostics, the philosophers. If you people will stay together. And he's telling you out here, this is how you do it. And it's, you're going to have that motivation of love and put these other characteristics in there, and you will be a unified people body, in which we'll talk about later too. One body. You'll be together. You're all members, but you just got that one body. And you members work together in that one body, and that body will be go to maturity or perfection. Facts? If you do that, you can fight these Jesusizing teachers or false teachers or whatever. Larry?
If we look at Paul's writing, what we see in the New Testament is that the instruction to love one another is a fruit. Some of us are not as loving as others. Some of us focus on ourselves. And others uses the definition that love is a sincere interest in the welfare of others. For what you just said about a church being unified to occur, to be knit together in love, there has to be a sincere interest in the welfare of others. We have to love one another for that to be the result. But it's a challenge for us as individuals, as we live our individual lives. And that's one of the reasons I think we see the instructions of love one another so often.
If you think about it, if I have love for you, doesn't it make me a whole lot easier to be humble and to build you up than for me? Say that I'm so much better than Larry. If I really care about Larry and his well-being and his soul, it makes it a whole lot easier to put Larry above me. It is. And we'll see some other things as he talks about too. No, Rand, you can't. You got to wait. No.
Yeah, it goes back to Philippians 2, and we studied that and talked about doing nothing from selfishness or empty deceit, but humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Just having that attitude all the time, it's difficult to do. I thought on many occasions, why don't I every day or several times throughout a day not read 1 Corinthians 13? I mean, just getting that love is patient, love is kind, that constant reminder, how different would I be throughout the day if I had that always at the forefront of my mind? I think that's something I want to try to do more, but I think it's something all of us could do. We need to think about it more.
It's something that you really need to look at your habits when you start your day. Let me tell you. Junior.
What if somebody has done no
good? Somebody what?
Somebody has done no good.
Somebody has no good?
No, that he's done no good.
I'll have done no good.
Never know what you're doing.
Uh-huh. Good question. How would you love somebody like that? He said the guy is no good. Nobody. He is a no good character. All right, he just started off with, say, no good character.
Is he talking about himself?
No, he's not talking about himself. Yeah. Kenneth, what are you going to say? Okay.
What did he say?
Say it one more time. Louder.
Christ died on the cross when we were his enemies. We were still in our sins.
Uh-huh.
And we're supposed to be like Christ.
Are you to love your enemies?
I think you have to remember that sin is sin. If you tell a little white lie.
Wait a minute. There is no color in lies. I already told you that. Same thing. You'll find that there's plenty of people out in the world that you will not like. But remember, like he's talking about, these are their characteristics. They're the old man. They're still in the walk in the old man. They're disobedient. They're the children of disobedience, in which we've talked about how the God's wrath will come upon the children of disobedience. God will take care of them. I don't ever worry about that. Wait a minute. Freddie?
The Bible very clearly points out in 2 John that if a person comes to you and they'll bring the correct doctrine, we're not to be in God's feet and we're not to participate with you.
Right. John? Right.
I think that when you're dealing with someone who's sinned and everything to that extent, you know, we need to have a sincere interest in, you know, bringing them into the knowledge of Christ, who died on the cross, saved us all from sin while we were still enemies of those. And I don't think it's right for us to ever give up on them. We do owe it to ourselves to instruct them.
Well, it's the thing. Point is, you don't actually give. You've been spend some time with them, and you seem you're not making progress. You don't give on, but you go to somebody else. It may be more receptive, but don't give up on. You never will. Anything else? All right. Then he continues on. He's talking about this, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. This is what we're talking about. We look at the next three verses here. There are three things that are going to be brought up. And this first one, verse 15, is peace. And then the next one will be his word. And after that, his name. But the first one he's talking about, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay? What is the peace of God? Let me just ask. If you're going to let it rule in your heart, what is the peace of God? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. It's all that, all inclusive, verily. The Word of God, just the Word itself, does it not bring you peace? Like we're talking about, God, you don't have to worry about revenging somebody, come back with them, or anything like that. God will take care of that. We ever talk about, what we talked about just a few minutes ago, we already talked about the children of disobedience. His wrath will come upon them. Now, you say, well, what is the wrath of God? Well, all we know, some examples that we'll look at the Old Testament, we know God does have wrath. He does not tolerate evil. And he does not tolerate disobedience. And you see what he has done in the Old Testament. That's where you really begin to see the nature of God there. And so you can see that whatever he does is going to be tenfold whatever you can do to him now with it. So the word in your heart, put it in or you put it on, like he said, you put on these characteristics that we're just talking about. You're going to have peace. Hey, you will have peace.
You know, if God will not tolerate sin, then I'll tell you one thing he'll do.
Oh, he said he will forgive it. All you have to do is change, repent of it and change this way. Go away from it. Alright, and he says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Alright. To which also you were called in one body. Here he gets back again to them to be unified here. And being unified, people, you're stronger. Because you're going to help each other. You have that love for each other. You care about them. You're going to be a stronger thing. You're going to be a that can help you. And he says, and be thankful for that. That's what I'm thinking. Be thankful for his body and what he's done for it. And he says, look, you have obeyed me. You have put the new man on. So you are in the body now. And he's writing to these Colossians here now. You people stay together. If you can stay together on these things, you don't have to worry about these false teachers. You don't have to worry about the philosophers. And we'll talk about it in just a minute too, about the wisdom. He says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, we've heard this many times because this is the one of the verses we use for people that want to put instrumental music in. But look at this. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. All right. Let the word of Christ, that's the gospel, the message itself, what the apostle had written down for us, what we read and study. Let me tell you, man is wise. But let me tell you, he does not compare to God's wisdom. There is no comparison. Now, what wisdom we want to see is not earthly wisdom. We want the spiritual or the heavenly wisdom, and that's in the Word of God. That's where all wisdom is at. If you want to see wisdom, you open your Bibles, and you study it daily. And like I talked about before, how you start your day off is going to a lot of time presume and tell you how your day is going to end. And if your day starts off with the Word of God and ends with the Word of God, then you're going to have peace in your heart. Back.
Going back to verse 15 for a second, he says that the peace of God, which as you said, is the word of God. But the verse wouldn't say it near as much if you just said, let the word of God rule in your hearts. I mean, it would be very matter of fact, and it would be true. But the word peace, replacing the word word, gives us the idea that it brings peace to you, and so it is.
Thank you. Good. We'll start with 16 come Sunday. Thank you.